Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
This is not intended to be a new or shocking thing to you. If it is, oh, it's so good. Anyway, it's so good. We're going to look into the story of the Good Samaritan. And so chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through the end, kind of around 37, we're going to be diving into today. And so you have a couple moments to get there. We are going to walk through that story together, and then we're going to re-walk through that story together, and we're going to pull some different pieces out of that story, all for a singular purpose, which is to give us the ability to put a little context with the text when we're thinking about what does it mean to be a person that lives a life that is not frenetic, hurried, out of pace, but yet something that falls in line with what we believe that God invites us into, which is a life of intentionality indeed, a life of purpose, a life of priority, and how we learn to navigate when to kind of speed up a little bit or slow down a little bit. We've talked about in the last couple two weeks of this series, how do we end up in some of these places we find ourselves in, right? Sometimes it's because we operate out of fear. Sometimes it's because we operate out of circumstance. Sometimes we operate out of commitments that we can't keep. Sometimes we operate out of the decisions that we or other people make. Oftentimes, we're operating out of conditions that we don't always have control over. True? What we do have control over is what we want to talk about, which, as we've talked so far, that yes, there's things that we need to learn and understand in God's word and who we are as we go through a series. That's absolutely true. But a lot of times, and true in this series, is we're going to have conversations about the condition of the heart. Why do I do what I do? Why do I respond the way that I respond? Why do I not do things that I want to do? Why do I respond in ways that I don't want to? And all of those sorts of questions. Last week, we talked a little bit about the reality that there's ditches on both sides of the road, if you will. I had no idea that analogy was going to work so well without here. It's like, come on, now people are like, I was in the ditch this morning, two times, both sides of the road. Love it. God is good. True, ditches or snow berms or whatever you want to call it on both sides of the road. And for the road for this conversation is how do we live a paced life, right? The goal is to travel the journey of life, not to arrive at the destination. True? Traveling in this journey, this relationship with God, with other people, experiencing life, which is God's greatest creation, which he invites you to live, is to try to maintain and keep ourselves on the road and on the journey with Jesus. Yet we find ourselves on either side when it comes to pace. Okay, one side of the ditch that we find ourselves in is when it's exactly the topic of the series, when we are hurried, 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 frenetic and out of control, oftentimes chasing something, striving for something, overreaching to build and acquire, and oftentimes that's resources, sometimes that's power and influence, but it's always for purpose and identity. And so when we chase and we build and we go after, whether we overcommit, whatever that may be, right? And our lists are like this long of why and how come. Man, we're crazy town. And does our world promote it or demote that lifestyle? Promotes it, right? Which leads us to kind of the other side of the street, if you will, which is the complete opposite of that. Sometimes it's like, hey, I'm just ambivalent and I'm lazy and I don't care. But oftentimes it's because I have to get away from that so bad that I have to completely retreat and punch out and freak out and go live in a hole somewhere, which is the other side of the road, which means I don't walk the path. I'm not engaged in anything. Most of the things I think about are not real, right? This is social media land or fantasizing land, right? I just got to get out of reality because that's too much over there. Is that a real concept? You betcha. When I'm running hot and it's blowing up over there, man, the only solution feels like I got to completely get away from it, right? So last week, we talked about how do we maintain balance with that, to where we're not totally crazy town, so where we just completely punch out, and we don't always live in punch out land, right? So this week, we're going to keep that idea in mind, but we're going to talk about what does it mean to maintain some sort of an idea of walking the path with God together, but doing it in a way in which God says we are to do it, which is, do we actually care about the things that God cares about? Now, if we don't care about the things that God cares about, we can pretty easily find ourselves in either one of these spots, right? Now, we can still care about what God wants us to care about, and we can still find ourselves in these spots, true? And so today, we're going to look at what does it mean to, yes, be mindful of my pace and my speed, and so I can care. Okay, the title of this is Unhurried Enough to Care, but we're also going to kind of flip it on its head a little bit. And we're going to talk a lot about what does it actually mean to care. If we're a people that are going to aspire to be what God has designed and created us to be, we got to ask ourselves the question first, do I even care? What do I care about? And so maybe the inverse is true for you this morning, to where what we're going to talk about is, do you care enough to actually be unhurried? Because the goal is not to be unhurried, is it? The goal is to actually care. Just like the goal is to live life, not to get to the end of it. True? God is in the middle of your life, not at the end of it. We've talked about that in different messages. So today, maybe you sit in your seat and you're like, man, I'm just crazy, out of control, unhurried, is not anything I can think of. And that's what God needs to show you today, is that slowing down and backing off with a real purpose is where you're going to find life. But you don't have to, which is the invitation of the gospel message. God's not going to force you to do anything, but he will reveal truth and invite you into it, which is going to require a whole bunch. In fact, it'll require everything you have. Will you trust him? Will you believe it? Which is going to lend itself to the second part of this conversation. Do you actually care about what God cares about? Do you care enough to slow down? Do you care enough to go through what it may take for you to slow down? Do you care enough about what God says you can care about to go through what you need to go through to care about caring more? I don't even know where we're going now. It's in there somewhere. I think you get the point. So no matter where you find yourself today, God's word, I believe, is living and active. It's real and applicable to every person that sits in this room this morning. Some of you may walk away with like 13 things, praise the Lord. Some of you may walk away with just one. God will reveal to you, I believe, in his text, multitudes of truth. And will you allow him to speak to you this morning? So we're going to talk about a few things. What do you care about? How fast are you moving? Do you care enough to slow down? Or do you need to slow down enough to see that you actually recognize what you care and don't care about? Okay, I want to do a couple definition things here. We're going to do a word swap, and then we're going to look into our story of our Good Samaritan here. Last week in our message where we talked about both sides of the road, we used a word called acedia. And acedia is a definition that is really the application of or lack thereof love. Failure of love. Failure to love. Failure to believe in love. And the actual definition of that word is an absence of or a lack of care. Well, look at that. It's like we followed a book, which we did, about this sermon series. So last week was, do I care? When I don't care, that means that I don't love. And so as we set the preface for today, we're going to kind of use those two words interchangeably. I think taking some liberty is okay with that. A lack of love means a lack to care. So if we were to retitle this message, it could be, are you unhurried enough to love? Or do you love enough to render yourself unhurried? That's the one that got me, was that statement. Do I actually love well, as Jesus says? And when I do, am I hurried? And man, I really couldn't find a time where that was true. I can hurry to help. I can hurry to care. I can hurry because I want to do things well. But man, to love well, I think renders us unhurried. And so do we love enough to slow down? Or are we willing to slow down enough to love well? See, that theme is throughout the entire Bible. If you go through and you read back in Genesis all the way up to the story in the New Testament that we're going to read, we're going to see that what God invites us into, this loving relationship, the greatest commandment, which we'll look at, is oftentimes in a relationship which requires time and a journey and patience and some long suffering, which is also part of it, which means in order for us to love well, we got to put in some time and have patience and let it play out and come to fruition, which means there's going to be ups and downs and good and bads and crisis and tragedy for us to respond to, and then celebrations and prosperity and amazing accomplishments and miracles that God does, which we need to slow down to enjoy and experience together. And so do we love the way in which God calls us to love? A couple thoughts here. If we talk about love, where do you know about love in the Bible? It's multiple spots. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 just for a minute as we talk about, do I love enough to slow down to be unhurried? Paul says it, 1 Corinthians 13, gives us a thought on love. Verse 1 says, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but I do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I can be unbelievably brilliant. I can speak in languages that are akin to God. But if I don't love people, I'm super annoying and distracting. Overwhelmingly loud. You know who those people are, huh? Sometimes that person's in the mirror, often. If I don't love, right? God says we're a distraction, we're annoying. He says, number two, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, I can have faith that move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. It's pretty strong language. He says, if I give and possess to the poor all that I have and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Verse 4 says, love is patient. It is kind. It doesn't envy, does not boast, is not proud, does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Verse 8, love never fails. So you can see how that's tied together to that acedia word from last week, where a position, a disposition, a life lived, what you believe, what you trust in, is that if love fails, that's where I end up. No hope, no purpose, no drive, no nothing. But Jesus says that love will never fail, that love is something that we bind around our hearts and our necks, we take with us. Verse 4 says that love is patient. Other translations say that it is long-suffering. Those are two words that I don't like that go together. Suffering and for a long time. Okay, so Jesus says, Paul's writing, he says that love comes to fruition through a significant process, which oftentimes is the result of suffering or enduring, and that that's going to take patience. And what that is in relationship, and then to be a patient, relationship, enduring person means that you are a person that has love. Which brings us to this topic for today. Am I a person that is willing to embrace that reality? Do I believe that it's worth having time to go journeying through people, to be inconvenienced at a wrong time, that takes too much time, that may include me suffering, that may include me sacrificing, that may include me being late, that may include me not looking perfect? Am I willing to do that for the sake of love? When we embody what Jesus says love is, most often, but not always, we're going to find ourselves in an unhurried pace. True? See how God's word does that? So fantastic. I guess the question is, do I care enough to be a person of love? Or do I care more about all of the other reasons that I may put above love? And we all have this super long list, right? Of all these reasons why we may or may not, of all these reasons why I can't or shouldn't or won't or don't, right? And we're gonna actually see that in our story here. So today, as we dive in, we're gonna look at the story of the Good Samaritan, and you get to ask yourselves a couple of those different questions, right? What's my pace and why? What am I looking for? What do I care about, or what do I love? The things that I care about and the things that I love, am I intentional about creating the environment in which God says that's gonna take time and patience and endurance, or I'd rather just have it done and get through it and be efficient and get more and move on? It's a condition of the heart that you get to ask yourself, okay? So as we dive in here, we're gonna be, again, Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. We're gonna work through 37. We're gonna read through the story, then we're gonna go back and pick some pieces apart. I'm gonna invite you to do that with me. You can or cannot or will not, that's up to you. But we're going to read it, and then we're going to ask ourselves some questions about being hurried, about caring, or about loving. Here's our story. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 says, this is the NIV, by the way. If you have a different translation, follow along and be mindful of the verbiage. We'll work together. Verse 25 says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. He said, teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. Jesus said, how do you read it? He answered. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. He said, you've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. He says, but he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So Jesus replied with this story. He said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and he went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put on the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Verse 37, the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And so Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So there's our story. And again, our lenses that we're looking through it, we're going to allow God's word to speak and teach us is, what does it mean to love? What does it mean to be aware? What does it mean to be intentional? What does it mean to hurry? And I'm going to expand on that, take some liberty when we ask those questions to say, what does it mean to set priority? What does it mean to make adjustments to your priority if you see an opportunity? What does it mean to actually love? What does it mean to recognize what God says love is or isn't? Who to love or not to love? When to love or when not to love? How to love or how not to love? And so Jesus is offering up truth, and there's a whole bunch of just unbelievable details in this story, from who is God using to who he's not using, the reasons why they're stopping or not stopping, what the audience hearing would expect to be the story that Jesus is telling. There's so many amazing depth, truth-giving parts of the story, but then there's also some just pretty black and white truth for all of us that we can all eat right away, right? And we're just gonna go there, then we're gonna break it down. Who's the person that loved well? The Samaritan, the person that stopped. Is that a shocker to anyone? Okay, some of us in here today just need to flat out hear that. We're gonna dive into a bunch of details. We're gonna dive into a bunch of reasons. Some of us in here need to hear, if you wanna love well, stop and help. Actually help. People that have needs, when you see it, help. True? And that's part of what Jesus is actually saying, is he's inviting us, if you are a believer today, Christian, this is what we do. This is what we do. And there's gonna be a whole bunch of absence of that in this story, which means there's probably some absence of that in your story, which is why we gather, which is why we teach, which is why we disciple, which is why we meet together to say, don't forget, let's be reminded. Yes, you're gonna miss opportunities, but God's gonna give more. So if there's gaps in this story, you best believe there's gaps in your story. So here's what I wanna say before we pull apart the story. Would you be a person today, because you get to choose, they would be willing to see the invitation and the encouragement of God to be what he has designed you to be over a person that just makes excuses and feels condemnation from the guilt and the shame of all the things that I've missed that I haven't done again, because the same offer is for them is for you as you sit today, right? Right, yes, true, love it, we will. That's what we're saying. Be a person today that goes, okay, today I make a different decision. Today I see the story, I see me in it, I see where there's lack, I see where there's victory. I want to be a person today that's gonna take the time to say, I care enough to learn how to love well. I have a story. Maybe I haven't done it well. I want to be different. Maybe today you're a person that's like, man, I've worked hard to commit to doing that. Good job. Keep it up. Well done, good and faithful servant. Would you be a person that invites somebody else into living that life? Okay? Whew. We got 15 minutes left. So let's look at our story. Okay? Who's the person, again? Sorry, I missed this. Who are you in the story? Who are you in the story? Who do you relate to? Why do you do what you do? When we look at who they are and what they do and why they do it, who are you? Where are you at? What is God speaking? What's he inviting you into? How do you see what's left? Here's what God is saying here. Again, this is who you are. This is what God's trying to say. This is what I'm trying to say to you today. This is who we get to be. This is who we are. What is it that I get to be? What is it that I can do? And we're going to see that by seeing what they're not doing and who they're not being and what they're missing. So who's asking the question in the story? If you have your Bible, look through it. We're going to put it back up there if we can. We're going to kind of piecemeal through this stuff. So if we rebuild the story, it says that someone came and asked Jesus a question. What sort of a person was this? One more time. An expert of the law, which means did they know or not know the law of God? They did. Okay, they did know the law of God. Just because you know something, does that mean that you believe it and embrace it? Not necessarily. Just because you know something, does that mean that you can take truth? Does that mean that you always apply it appropriately? No. So we have an expert in the law that knew, at least at a head level, who God was, what the story of God was, what the law of God was, what the guidelines of God was, how God's people were supposed to be. He knew that already, and this is the person that was asking Jesus the question. What was his motivation? You want to trick him, right? You want to trick him. You ever been a person in your life with God where you already know what he said and you already know how it's supposed to go and yet you want to ask God a question just to maybe try to trick him? Any parents in here? Let me see the parents' hands real quick. You ever had your kids already know the answer to a question that they're asking and yet they want to ask you something to try to trick you? It's kind of like that. Okay, making it real and applicable. Have you ever found your spot where you know what God already says and you're going to ask him maybe to try to trick him to get out of it? It's kind of like that. Okay. And he says, he asks this question. What's the question? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And you find that's an odd question to be at the front of the story that Jesus tells. I thought that this question was about helping people. Isn't that what the story's about? Isn't the story about caring about people and giving them food and money? Is that the purpose of the story? Jesus answers the question with a story about that. What's the original question? How do I find life? Man, don't miss that part. Yeah, this message is about having a pace of life that's unhurried, for sure. Yep, that's not the point of the series. The point of the series is how do you find life? It's always that question. The question is asked, how do I find life? And what's the answer to the question that that person already knows? If you want to say it with me, say it with me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then Jesus adds on to it, love your neighbor as yourself. Did the person asking the question already know that? Yes. Do you already know that today? You already know that. God, I already know that I'm to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you actually believe, though, in your heart, that if you will commit to that, not perfectly, that you'll actually find life? Or in your mind this morning, are you going, well, I have to do that or God won't love me? Because what it says is, how do I find life? And he says, love God with everything that you have. Every capacity, every giftedness, every physical capacity, every resource that you have, be willing to love God with all of it. And he attaches the second comment, which is the best way to actually live that out in application, is to love your neighbor, is to love other people. And that is absolutely in the story of the Bible from the beginning to the end. And so the knowing person, the expert of the law, actually gives that answer, right? And Jesus says, you're right. If you choose to do that, you will live. Which means, church, this morning, if you're going to be a person that cares enough to slow down, if you are a person that loves enough to change your pace in your process, in your priority, if you're willing to be a person to fight through fear and failure and rejection and hard relationship and all the stuff, you will be a person that too will live. You will find life in giving and sacrificing and helping and loving and on and on and on. And so Jesus says that's the right answer. And then what does our religious head knowledge person say in the story? Well, I mean, who's my neighbor? Right? And surely we've never been there. I've never been there before. Or God, I already know what you say. And God, I already know what you mean. And God, I already know that. But I got some things that I really want to ask you, because really what I'm trying to do in my life is what the person in this story is already doing, which is justify myself. Says it in the text, doesn't it? The only reason for the follow-up question was to make an excuse, to make a reason, to put together an example before God as to why I'm not going to do what I already know I'm supposed to do. And it could be both sides of the ditch here, guys, this morning. Sometimes we try to ask questions and maneuver out of things we already know because we want to justify trying to be good by not doing what God says is good, right? Well, I would love and I would be patient and I do serve God, and God, I do all of these things right here, but not this way and not that reason because, I mean, who's my neighbor, really? If you find yourself in that position this morning, welcome to the club. Welcome to the team. But would you also welcome what God has to say to you in the rest of the story? He's trying to justify himself. Are you trying to justify yourself in the way that you live your life right now? Are you trying to justify before God why you're too hurried, why you're too busy, why you don't have enough time, don't have enough resources, gotta go to where I gotta go? Do you have a justification process in you, the immediate pushback to say, I can't love the way you want me to love because of whatever it may be? Jesus then answers his question. He's answering your question with a beautiful story. One that includes very practical help, but one that is also loaded with unbelievable amount of meaning because it's true. And it has people in it. And it has a story in it. Just like you. You have people in your life. You have a story that you're living. And God is putting those two things together. So he goes along and he tells a story. Okay, before we rebuild the story, let's put a little bit of a few facts together just to kind of show some depth. Now, what was just the right away example that we already talked about? When we see a person in need, we what? We help. Okay, check. We got that one, right? Jesus said the person that was actually living out what I've called them to do, they're the person that saw a need and met it. True? Got it? Good? Circle that one? Okay. We're going to go a little deeper behind what he's saying there. Okay, there's four characters in the story. The first character is on the side of the road. Who is that person? It's a person on the side of the road, right? They got robbed and half beaten and stolen and robbed or whatever. Okay, now we can look at that character and we can go, well, again, I'll just play advocate to help us justify ourselves in what we do. Okay, we'll come together at the end. It'll be good, I hope. Well, sometimes it's like, well, that person deserved it. Right? Shouldn't have been walking there. Should have paid more attention. Should have been smarter. Should have been wiser. Should have been better shape so you could fought back. Shouldn't have walked there at night. I don't know. But this justification is, well, that should have never happened in the first place. If they'd have never found themselves in that situation, then I wouldn't have needed to help them because there wouldn't have been help to give. And so the person in the story, we don't know why they got there. We don't know how they got there. But what we do know is that they got there. True? Are you justifying some of the details as to why we don't care, why we don't love, why we don't slow down? I do it all the time. I do it all the time. My gosh, person's in the ditch over there this morning. Should have slowed down. Come on. You kind of deserve it, right? I mean, that's like, I do that. I'm like, I'm going to justify. I'm going to show all the reasons, right? And God actually says this is true. You can build an unbelievable case to not love, to not slow down, to not care, to not help, and he will let you all day long. All day long. You're right. You're right. You're totally right. Yeah, you're right. Yep, yep, yep. They should have. You shouldn't have. Yep. Is that the point? Never. And so there's a person on the side of the road. Then we have three characters that come along the side of the road. They're a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. Okay? A priest and a Levite, historically throughout the text, are people through God's law in Torah of where he's showing people what it means to live as a community of believers between God and his people. A priest and a Levite are people that God has put into position to help all of the people grow in their relationship with God. Okay? Both the priest and the Levite have specific roles and duties that they perform when God institutes the tabernacle, later on in the temple, today which would be called the church. Okay? They have roles, they have jobs, and they're wanting to do them well because they believe and they love the Lord, and they're trying to help other people love each other and love God. Tracking? The priest is the person that's like the formal priest. You could call him the pastor guy, okay? He has specific duties. He wants to do them very well. He loves God with everything that he has, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And one of those things to be obedient to the Lord is to go through the processes in which God says that is good and set apart and holy. One of those things is to be clean and set apart before the Lord as he invites people to be in relationship with God. Okay, referred to often as ceremonially clean. The priest has that. The Levite has a very similar role. It's just less formal. So you could call that person pastor and small group leader. Make sense? They both have roles. They're formal. They're doing something. They love God. They want to do it. One of the things that they want to do well, based on what they already know about what God says, is to present yourself set apart and holy because they are to show other people what God is like. It's pretty practical, okay? So if we find ourselves in the story, there's a person on the side of the road that is half what? Dead. And our priest and our Levite come walking along the side of the road. Why didn't they stop? Because they're idiots and they don't care. I'm embellishing. Who's ever heard that part of the story? Well, they didn't stop because they don't care. I heard like that for years. Years and years and years. Well, the priest is just a stuck up clergy pastor guy. Doesn't actually care about people, doesn't love God, not trying to do it well, must have been too busy, all the things, right? They didn't care about God at all. He just walked by. And the Levite, yeah, him too. Who's heard the story like that? Come on. Okay? There could be some truth to that. See the invitation, not the condemnation. What actually could be true in that story, which I think is that both the priest and the Levite loved God with everything they had. They knew the law, they knew the rules, they were doing everything they could. And so when they come across a person that looks dead, the law of God says, do not make yourself unclean by being near a dead person. That's true. That's what the law says. Here's why this matters. Is we can blow through stories like this right away, and we dismiss truth, which means we dismiss our own truth. And we go, well, surely I'm not the pastor that doesn't care and walks by people. That's not me. I'm not the small group leader or the other church, the Levite person that doesn't care. That's not me, right? And then we're like, I'm justifying myself. And then we get to the last part of the story, and we're like, oh, okay. Why did that person help? Who is that person? But before we get to the last person, are you hearing me on the first two? Okay, here's why this matters a ton to me. I believe that a good portion of us are the first two. You are people that love God. You are people that want to learn. You are people that want to help. You are people that want to grow. You are people that want to be the will of God to the people of God. But sometimes we miss the heart of God, right? Sometimes we know truth, but we miss the application of it. Which is what you're going to see as Jesus is telling this story, is he's reminding them, he's showing them, for the first time even in that context, that here's what it actually means in practice to be a Christ follower, to be someone that loves, to be someone that cares. It actually means that the processes and the rules that God gets in place, although good and are intended for your good, are actually second to what it means to be a person that loves. The heart and intent of the law has always been to point us to the heart of Jesus, which is to love. And so you can look at the story and go, they had good reason to pass by, but did they have good enough reason? Because what Jesus is bringing to truth in this specific historical context is that they should have stopped and they could have stopped, but they didn't know they were supposed to then. Maybe you don't know today that of all the rules and all the things and all the schedule and the Bible studies and the classes and the small groups and the read the thing and the do the stuff or whatever have always been intended to show you what it means to be a person that loves. Do you not stop sometimes because you got too many things to do? You don't spend time having a conversation with somebody because, man, I got to read and I got to go and I got to get to my group and I got to get to church and I got to do the thing and then I got a family and they got all the stuff. Sounds like a hurried life, doesn't it? Right hope, misapplication. So we see that there's a people of God that love God, that are doing the will and the duty of God, that Jesus comes on the scene in their life, just like he may be in your life, saying, thank you for loving me. Thank you for wanting what's best. Thank you for putting into practice the things that I've shown you. But I'm also inviting you into a better way, which is to be a person that's willing to slow down, to stop, and to help, which is being a person, I'm like, I'm so fired up, you guys. Just like Jesus, where he says, I will be unclean for the unclean. It's not about being clean. It's about loving those that need to be loved. It's about being willing to subject myself to a schedule, in a situation, in an environment that's uncomfortable for me, that I'm willing to get next to a person in a disposition of need because I want to be a God that meets needs. That's what the story's about. And we're not even done yet. You go to the first two, okay? One piece, and then we're going to dive into that. Jesus oftentimes, especially in the culture in which he's teaching with, okay, in the Israelite Hebrew culture, they would tell stories of sequence often. A 1-2-3 story, 1-2-3 story on repeat, 1-2-3 story on repeat. And he did it to prove a point. There would always be 1-2-3. Now, in this specific context, it would always be the design and the process that God put together. The priests were the ones that would lead it through. The Levites were part of them as well. And the third part of it was always the rest of us, the people of God, the Israelites. So all the stories being told would be the priests and the Levites and the Israelites. The priests and the Levites and the Israelites. The priests and the Levites and the Israelites. They would know that. They would know it. They would know it. They would know it. And they would fully expect it. So here comes Jesus telling a story. And there's a man in a situation, right? And along came a priest. What did everybody automatically know? I know how the rest of this goes. I know how the rest of this goes. There's gonna be a priest, there's gonna be a Levite, then there's gonna be us. Priests and Levites and us, right? That's what they're thinking. That's how it's gonna go. And Jesus is doing this absolutely on purpose so that that's what they're thinking. Here's how this is gonna go. The priest, the Levite, then me. Got it? So let's tell a story. There's a half-dead guy on the side of the road. The goal is to hope, is to love and to help and to meet a need. And Jesus is telling a story. Here comes the priest, and he didn't help. Okay, and then the Levite, he also walked by. Oh, he didn't help? That makes no sense. I know what's coming. I know what's coming. And Jesus goes, and then the third person walked by, and it was a Samaritan. What? That's supposed to say us. We're the ones that are supposed to help. We're the ones that stop. We're the ones. If you remez and you call back to Chronicles where it says that when God's people find a situation, they clothe and they feed and they take care of them and they put them on their own donkey and they take them to their own house. Jesus is retelling the same story. We should be the ones that stop. We're the ones that help. And it's not us. It's those that are not a part of us. It's the enemy of us? The Samaritan is the one that stopped. He's the one that helped. He's the one that gave everything he had. He's the one that was inconvenienced. He's the one that was long-suffering. He's the one that gave of his time and his energy and his effort. He doesn't even know our God. Ever been there? Look around. There's people that don't have a relationship with God that understand to take care of people means to love people, and they'll do it. And man, then there's a whole bunch of us that know it up here, that really want to do it, and we don't. We won't. We can't. I'm too busy. I have too many things. I'm trying to do my best, doing all these things for God over here. I'm trying to fix all this stuff, trying to earn it, trying to build it, trying to do whatever. The power in this story, you guys, is that Jesus is trying to say, remember who you are. Remember what it means to be a person that loves. Remember what it means to say that you are part of the family of God, because this is who we are. We stop. We help. We go. We're inconvenienced. We slow down. That's supposed to be us in the story. Do you see the invitation to find life this morning and to not go, I didn't do it. Yeah, I know. The invitation is still there. And here's what I love, because we're going to end this for this morning. The original question asked by the teacher of the law was, who is my neighbor? right? Who's my neighbor? And I read this here at the very end. This is what Jesus says. Verse 36, Jesus says back to him, which one of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man? See, the question is never, who is it that I'm supposed to love? And help me find out. And I want to know when, and I want to know how. That's a good question. But what Jesus actually gives the answer to is don't be worried about the person you need to love and be worried about being the person that does love. Wherever, whenever, however, be unhurried enough, be careful enough to want to have a different lifestyle, and in it, life abundant, you will find. Come on. We're done. That's it. That's the word. That's what it is for today. So where are you? Why do you do what you do? What's your schedule? What's your pace? What eyes do you have? What do you strive to have in life? Are you a person that loves, a person that cares? Would you be willing to take a note just from this story right here for the invitation that says, you, O Christian, would you be known for your love? Would you be known for slowing down and suffering? Would you be known for going to the person that maybe nobody else will? But would you say, God, this is who I want to be? Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.